You're probably going to hate us, but we're conservative Christian moms. We're here to empower other conservative Christian moms to speak up, say what's true, and defend their children's futures. I'm Nikki River, and I'm the often too emotional mother of two. As always, I'm joined by Amy.
Hey, guys.
And Candy Rose.
Hey.
Today, we're talking about Christian gifts and the egos that often trail behind. Within Christian culture, people are gifted with such a variety of things, whether we're gifted with something more public, like speaking, teaching, or leading worship, or whether we're gifted with more behind-the-scenes skills like prophetic prayer, pastoral care, catalytic vision, feeding a group of 50, or setting up lights in the production booth. In church, it can feel like you have to have something to offer. It's easy to build your worth and pride around what you're bringing to the table. How do we balance the need to humbling offer our talents with the egos that often creep in and take hold? Or even worse, the jealousy of someone else's talent and recognition? Pull up a chair and let's discuss.
Okay, so amongst us, all of us have and do lead worship. So I think that's kind of how this topic got started, was like worship is one of those places where egos gets really loud really fast.
Yeah.
Egos are like very destructive in worship culture. So we all lead worship, but like, what are other gifts you feel like you guys have that, I don't know, especially as it pertains to like church culture?
I've been told I have exhortation. Is that like the one where you can build people up? Is that the one? Am I saying that right? Exhort? It's like when...
No, it's like a gift of encouragement, but yeah, I think you're...
Yes, thank you. I wasn't sure if I was saying it right. Yeah. And also a little bit of prophetic too. Like sometimes I'll have dreams and visions. Yeah. And obviously in worship, I think that's one of like the combo worship and the prophetic.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough question to name out the specific gifts. I think I have a leadership, I guess, gifting. I'm very organized and pretty good at telling people what to do. And I would say creativity. I would say I'm gifted in creativity. And so that stems out into different things, whether it's worship or other stuff.
I would say you have the gift of hospitality.
Aww.
Too.
Thank
so
you.
There's me exhorting.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. You're always, when we're there, and I'm like, I'm hungry. And then you like make me a salad or something. I don't know. You're just so awesome. I love it.
Thank you. I'll receive it.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
How about you?
I think I probably have leadership. I feel like I'm exploring. I don't know that I'm actually a very gifted pastor, like caring about people pastorally, but it is an area I feel like I'm having to at least grow in, because I'm a team lead at our church on the worship team. And so I'm noticing I need to be a pastor to them. So I'm like, ooh,
that's good.
There's a muscle I need to build. So that's not really probably gifting. I don't know. That's all I got for you.
I think you have a lot too. I think you have encouragement too, or I guess it's exhortation. I don't know, because there's been many times that I've said something negative about myself, and then you see truth and you speak out truth. I don't know. You're such an encourager.
I was gonna say, I feel like Amy has like maybe a gift of wisdom, because when Nikki, when you and I are like talking through feelings or thoughts, I feel like Amy can take it and piece it together and speak wisely into it. So I would say the gift.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if I am discerning.
Mm.
I think maybe I also, like I tend to be the person, this is not related to church, but I tend to be the person in our work who, like, I'll be introduced to a new client, a potential client, and afterwards I'll be like, so here's what I think. And I will predict, I've actually been doing this for years, I'll predict exactly how the relationship is going to go, and I warn everyone. And then it's exactly what happens. And I don't know if that's self-fulfilling prophecy or if that's discernment.
That's so funny.
It's probably
like it happens.
Yeah. It's probably
for a while I was even getting bonuses. We would have this like joke, like, oh, let's see what happens. And then when it did, I'd be like, okay, where's my truth speaking bonus? And I would get bonuses. It's pretty funny. Anyway,
maybe we should list some of the gifts, actually, because as you're saying them, I forgot I also have discernment. And it's actually something that I have to be careful about, because I'm like a super discerner. So when I'm worshiping, I actually have to like switch off that part of my brain, because I'm like super discerning what's happening everywhere and like what spirits are impacting what people. And therefore, I just need to like focus on worship. So I forgot about discernment.
That's cool, Nikki. That is.
Yeah, it's cool. But it's also like I have to be like, no, the job is to praise right now. But it's I forgot about discernment.
Yeah.
There's
is
a lot of
like,
good ones. Okay, question. Now I have a question.
Okay.
So when we went to this Holy Spirit conference. We've mentioned it a couple times. And the guy that was leading it was like, he invited the Holy Spirit. And then we just sort of sat and waited. And then he'd call on people, be like, hey, I see that guy over there. Do you have the Holy Spirit on you? And I would look over and be like, oh, he looks normal to me. Is that what that is? Is that what you're talking about?
I think you have
like a sense of what's... That's incredible.
Yes, but I don't call it out like that. Maybe if there was...
Well, sure, he was doing his job at the moment. Oh, you know, like he was doing what he was supposed to be doing to teach us. But I was like, how is he seeing this? I don't... Yeah. It was really cool.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think discernment can be like, Amy, you described it one way and how it works in your life. And Nikki, I would say you just described it in a totally different way. My dad has always had a really awesome gift of discernment. And I would say he was always very, I mean, he discerned a lot of different things, but from my perception, it seemed like he could easily discern like what was going on spiritually, like kind of what you're saying, Nikki. So I think, I don't know, I'm sure there's different ways it can manifest.
I'm sure there is. Oh. It is very cool. So there's discernment and leading and pastoral care and exhortation, teaching. Oh, we talked about this too. I like a lot of the things that fall within like the fivefold ministry that Christ talks about, you know, apostolic, like the people that can drive, you know, drive a vision forward. You have your evangelists, the people that have a burden for God's word, your pastors who care for the flock, your teachers who give the word. And this might be a topic for another day, but if you're operating as the pastor, but you have a really strong gifting in one of the other things, that can cause a lot of problems too. But anyway, that's just
I think we have natural giftings, like things we're really strong in. But I also believe being connected to the Holy Spirit, there's at any moment we could be like pushed into, like he could just give us a gift for a moment in time. Or you know what I'm saying? I think we can walk in any of the giftings.
I definitely think that's biblical.
Yeah.
Like outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a specific gift for a specific moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the topic at hand is kind of around like, I think not only spiritual gifts, but church is its own culture. When you step inside those four walls or when you're with people from church, you're sort of known for certain things. People expect certain things from you. And I think often we learn in that social environment to be recognized for certain things or to be praised or I don't know, the social dynamic of church culture around what you have to offer can be really, really dangerous. And so I don't know, it's something that's been on my mind because I'm a team lead on our worship team. And there's always a threat of ego, like a breakout of ego. There's always a threat that if you do it a little bit wrong or not quite the way people had hoped, or if you don't assign the right people to lead the certain right songs or to, you know, play piano on the, you know, whatever. Like there's all these like really kind of sensitive issues related to how worship teams are built and how they run. And so I went to Liberty University and my very first semester was in the worship program. And I didn't quite expect what the program was for, so I didn't end up staying. But what I encountered, and this is not a rule by any means because I know a ton of people who have loved their worship program, but what I encountered was a ton of ego. And it really bothered me, like to the point that I just had to leave. I think I could have powered through kind of the musical elements of it to do it long term, but because I experienced so much ego, I just had to tap out. And so because of that experience, I have always been extremely hypersensitive to ego. Mm. Like I hate getting compliments after a Sunday morning. You know, like if I leave worship and people come, I hate it. And I try to be really nice and not awkward. But I'm like, I'm honestly afraid of ego, which is not healthy. Like I'm not saying I'm approaching this in a healthy way. It's something I have to figure out, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just got me on the topic of what do people expect to get recognized for and how is that damaging?
So what do you mean by ego that you've observed? I think I understand, but just like, what did you feel like you observed that's turned you off?
I mean, with worship specifically, but I think this is true of anything. We are supposed to recede. Like we're supposed to fade into the background and be vessels for what God wants to do. our purpose is to serve and to love and to bring people into the presence of God. And with, so like, for instance, at Liberty University, if you're in the worship program, I would say probably at least half of them, at least when I was there, at least half of the student body was hoping and expecting to get some kind of record deal out of their time there. So, right. I was like,
really, they were musicians.
Really, they were musicians under the guise of worship, under the guise of like, well, it's Christian music, so therefore I'm allowed to, this is a godly thing to chase after. But when did that ever become the focus, right? Like the minute their own plans and their own fame became the focus is the minute that the true point of worship breaks down and Satan can have a heyday. And that is super true within a worship team. You know, you have people that they really forget. You have people that just forget their purpose. And even little things like maybe it's not that they want to be the center of attention and therefore get praised for it. Maybe they're there and they get frustrated because they can't, quote unquote, grow. Well, I'm not being put in situations where I can, quote unquote, grow. Well, that is not the point of our team. It's a great thing that you want to grow. And it's a good thing if it happens. And we don't want you to be stagnant. But if that's actually your goal here, then go play in a band somewhere, right? Yeah.
I can say it a different way because I experienced it that way. Or this might make people understand a little bit in a different way. What I'm saying is when I was on a worship team, when I was younger and before I was refined in this area, and sometimes I still have to put this stuff to death, it was hard. My value came when people complimented whether or not it was a good worship Sunday or if there were, you know, there's a little bit of celebrity culture, unfortunately, in a church when there's a really good worship leader. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the person getting all the acclaim or all the songs or all the time. And you see it, even though we shouldn't, you see it. Like there's favor, but sometimes that's okay. Like you need things to be excellent. But what it can cause if you're not careful is like you want that. So then what you have to make sure you do is check, why do I want that? Because you want the ascribed glory of God for yourself. And that is so wrong. So you just have to ask the Holy Spirit, like, Lord, shine a spotlight in my heart. Why do I desire their ability, their gifting, and their acclaim? It's because you want what's supposed to be for the Lord. And even them getting it is, so that's supposed to be for the Lord, like what you're saying. But when they're receiving it, it leaves a hole or a space for the enemy to come in and speak to people like, pss, 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 they're getting all the glory. But we don't even want the glory. We want the Lord to have the glory. Yeah. So it's a very insidious, you know, it's like the other side. It's, you know, it sounds like, yeah, I struggled the opposite way that you struggled.
Well, and that, like, I struggle because I'm afraid of struggling that way. You know what I mean? I'm afraid of what I'm capable of or what's inside me. I am always wanting to, like, yeah, I don't know, be on guard. But Candace, I mean, I'd love to hear, I mean, it's totally okay to want a record deal, right? It's okay, yeah, to want to perform. It's like, none of those things are wrong inherently. I don't want to sound like, you know, you can't be a Christian and want a record deal. Yeah, that's ridiculous. So Candace, as a performer, how do you balance love of performing and having attention in a healthy way with your spiritual giftings and stuff?
That is a great question. I would love to, before I answer that question, I was just going to say, I think maybe some of those people in the worship program that you went to school with maybe weren't actually, like, they were in the wrong program. They, yeah, thought they wanted to be worship leaders, but what they actually wanted to be was, yeah, musicians, like a singer-songwriter. That's not the same thing. It's just not. I actually went to Christian school college for 2 years called Lee University, and it's known for the singers. So there was a lot of ego there and a lot of really amazing singers, but it's super annoying. And it's for me personally, like, I'm like, ugh, I'm so over it. and I wonder, it's interesting that this is something specifically that maybe singers struggle with. I just wonder why that is. But Amy, to answer your question about performing, I would say that God has taken me down a humbling road. So I have been acting, yeah, pretty much my whole life. And there have been so many times where I haven't gotten a part that I want. I would say in the world of acting, the majority of the time, I don't get the part that I want. And so you have to come to this place of saying, well, it doesn't matter that I didn't get that part I really want. I just want to be on stage because I love being on stage and I love acting and I love singing. So Amy and Nikki, you two, I would say, are more gifted at leading worship. You guys are awesome leaders in that way.
I want to circle back to that.
I am on. For me personally, I feel honored every time I get to just be on the stage. But I think it's, I can see why people do struggle, but I don't know if it's having grown up as a performer and just realizing whether it's on stage for Jesus or on stage for my own selfish love of being on stage. It's always an honor. It's always a privilege because, you know, when you audition for something, there might be hundreds of people, thousands of people. Like there's so many people that audition. So if you get chosen to be on stage, whether it's for worship or Broadway or whatever, it's always an honor. And I don't know. So that's how I think good. About it.
So what you just said, not triggered, but like it's just so I get so frustrated by that because it's such a man value and I think an American church issue. That we say these people are gifted with this. And I know there is gifting, but I think it was a couple of months ago. I'm going to make this as vague as possible just in case people are listening. But somebody had said a specific worshiper that they just didn't enjoy the worship and it wasn't up to snuff and da 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 da. And did you feel that way too? And I was like, no, that didn't. I mean, okay, from a musical standpoint and from like, if you're looking at it, like you're saying, Candace, from professional, yeah, this person's not going to be on the Grammys. But I felt like I worshiped and I felt like they worshiped. I felt like we went vertical. And so I, in that moment, was so devastated because I was like, oh my gosh. And I know they were trying to compliment. I wish you were. And I was just like, I worshiped with like. Yeah. It's not for you.
Yeah.
The worship wasn't for you. You weren't supposed to enjoy it. You weren't supposed to. I mean, yes, we get out of it. We get to feel close to God. And because we're sinful and human, maybe some notes and some voices sound better in our ears. But it's not for you.
Yeah.
It's for God.
And
it hurt me.
Yeah.
Because I was
that
like,
sounds very
are they
hurtful.
Judging me?
Yeah. No, I would be very hurt. And to be clear, when I said you two are better leaders than me, although I do agree vocally, you do sound better than me. That's actually not what I meant. I meant you guys have been leading longer and like the exhortation and I meant it more in like a leadership way, not so much in a performance way, although you do both have beautiful voices.
I love you, Candace. See, and I struggle with that at all, a period, because I just feel like the American church made this dynamic, I feel. Like, can you imagine in China, like, them being like, oh, you can't, like, in the house church, the hidden church, like, oh, get off, you're bad. Like, you just imagine a humble person coming up and being like, we're not allowed to praise our Lord. Let's just lift up our voices to him. I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like it's such a flesh problem, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Candace, the reason I disagree with what you said was because I knew what you meant, and I always get so much when you lead worship. I'm always
I
like,
agree.
Hey, Candace.
I know. She just loves like, the Lord. She always cries. I love it.
Oh, it's so good. But
I'm like, yes, I'm crying too.
But I think so in the same kind of conversation, we were talking with one of our other close friends and she gets to lead sometimes, but not always. And she was just expressing her heart is so good and she's there for all the right reasons. And really, I've been really introspective about her feedback ever since talking to her because I just appreciate her so much.
Yeah.
But she was kind of talking about like when you're called to do something and you don't get to do it, it's very hard. It's very challenging to feel like you're being obedient to what it is the Lord's asking you to do. And so I think that's another dynamic and again, that can be true for not just on a worship team. You know, if you're in a culture, a church culture where you have a gifting or you have an area, a gifting that you're trying to grow, and you're not given the opportunity, I don't know. It's a discipleship issue, I guess. But it's like, how do we handle that in a way that is God-honoring, but also we're not lying to ourselves about the actual reason that we want to do the thing?
That's what I was just about to comment on what you just said, because I was that person too. And then all of you speak to Holy Spirit about it. You're like, hey, this. And he's like, you can do that. You might have an audience of one at your piano, or you might have an audience of four with your family. And so then you're like, but I want to do it here.
Yeah.
And then God reveals the spotlight on your heart. Why do you want to do it here? Mm. And it's really interesting. I had to be humbled completely in that area where when I sit, and I know Candace, you do, and I'm sure you do too, Amy. I sit at my piano and just worship with an audience of one all the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, God gave me multiple churches that were like, come lead worship here. And I was just like, oh, all of a sudden I was given the desire of my heart. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I realized that I didn't want that. I didn't want the leadership. Yeah. I just wanted to worship.
Yeah.
But I had to go through this process of learning that my, you know, casting off, rebuking the jealousy and teaching my heart that, you know, I had to go through a lot.
Yeah.
And that's thank really the Lord, good, he refined me in those areas. I think, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. We want man's approval. I know that sounds really hard to hear. If you're hearing this and you're upset now, I was you. I was like, but I want this. And you could be the best one and you could know all your hidden skills. And it could seem like everyone's against you or there's people that seem better that are getting the opportunity. Mm. But God literally parted the seas for people and he will part the seas for you at the right time.
Yeah.
And so it's just ego sucks. It sucks. I'm humbled constantly.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know we're hitting specifically a lot on worship, but in general,
singing, yeah.
I would say ego, pride, is an idol. And I think oftentimes we don't even know what we're struggling at it, like in what area. I think probably in at least in most American lives, we do struggle with it somewhere often. Not necessarily the same spot every time. But I remember doing this Bible study years ago by Beth Moore. I can't remember which one it was. But I remember she kept hitting like pride, pride, pride. And I was like, I just can't relate to this. He humbled me so hard. And I realized, like I do all the time, you know, tie it into our last podcast, legalism. When you are judging somebody, you are struggling with pride. Like you think you're better than somebody else to judge them. That is pride. So ego is.
Well, and even me saying I feel like I understand someone's heart posture and longing to do something is ego.
Well,
yeah, but and you know what? It's cyclical, right? I really thought that that was a demon that I had conquered. And then one of my best friends, I invited her to come do worship with me at this event. And she's incredible. And some of those little insecurities came back up. And then I actually had to say it out loud. I was like, oh, my gosh, I just realized I was comparing myself to you. And I was like, and that was so wrong. And I love your voice and I love your gifting. And then she affirmed me. And I think sometimes confession and quick repentance is a huge part of this. Like, hello, we're human and we're in the flesh. So we're going to continually maybe struggle more than others in this area. But as soon as you're like, God's so good to forgive it. Okay, Lord, I'm struggling here. Let you be the glory. Let our praise be the glory. And for anything.
I was going to say, I think as performers, and we all kind of are, even though I would hate to say worship is a performance, but anyone who stands on a stage, I think we are going to struggle the most with ego because it kind of goes hand in hand. Just everything you guys are saying proves that point. But everybody, whether you're on a stage or not, is going to struggle with it in some part of their life.
I have all these stories coming to mind. One is
that's good.
Not from my own life. I'm not that cool. But one story is from someone who was talking about when Peter walked on the water. Mm-hmm. And it was Peter, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to tell the story and it's going to be totally wrong. But he was just talking about how Peter's the one who asked to walk on the water. God did not call him out on the water. He asked. And the God said, okay, come on out. And so he had his eyes on Jesus while he was asking.
Mm-hmm.
But then the minute that he took his eyes off Jesus is when he started doing the thing that God granted.
Wow.
And I was like so blown away by that reality. And he was just kind of saying like, where are your eyes when God grants the thing that you want? You know, like we ask. And then what happens when? And I feel like these kinds of things can be that way. It's like you ask for opportunity to serve in a specific way. And then the minute you have it, you know, you see so many worship leaders or so many pastors or so many like whoever falling, stumbling so hardcore in the midst of their leadership. And the other story is
maybe it's protection. Maybe God doesn't isn't giving you over to that to protect you. Wow.
That's a good point, Nikki. I hadn't even thought about that.
Isn't it funny how we're hearing different things? You said it, and I was like, yes. Oh, wow, I feel like that was God's goodness to me. Like, we are gifted worshipers, and like, I don't know, or gifted in the world's eyes. And therefore, yeah, God, I feel like God's definitely protected me for sure. But anyway, keep going to what you were saying, because I loved where you were heading.
Well, the other thing that this whole conversation made me think about, and I think this is where I struggle the most. So Mike Donaghy from 10th Avenue North, he's the front man. He tells a story about when they went to their very first, what do you call it?
Festival?
Yes. Okay, so Mike Donaghy from 10th Avenue North, he's their front man. He talks about the very first time they ever went to their big festival. They were praying like they always did. Hey, God, use us. God, use us. We want to be used by you, God. And he said it was like the Holy Spirit tapped on his shoulder, like almost physically, and said, what if I want to use another band? And he was like, but use our band first. Use our band more. And Holy Spirit was like, no. And what he learned from that was not to pray, God, use me. And what he learned is that his identity was in being used. Mm. His identity was not in being a child of God. And so he stopped praying that as a band. They started praying, God, move. Mm. Because then it doesn't matter who gets used. It's not about who gets used. It's about God.
Yeah.
When you ask God to use you and he uses you, it's about you. Mm. And you get all this glory from being used. But when God moves and he uses anyone, then it's about the glory of God.
Oh, I got
and that is, it's such a good lesson. And I feel like that's where I struggle. My ego, because I'm so scared of it, my ego isn't really in my talents. My ego is in being used. And I think that's where a lot of people sit in this conversation. They've battled the ego situation enough to be like, okay, it's not really about, you know, my talents. But they haven't yet battled, what if God doesn't use me for this thing? What if he uses someone else? What does that mean about me if God chooses not to use me? Am I not good enough? Am I not worthy? Have I not worked hard enough on myself? Am I not humble enough? What am I missing that God doesn't want to use me? But it's not about you.
It's
about God moving.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to learn.
I was just going to encourage Amy, because she said this like at the very beginning. When someone ever compliments me after leading worship, I always say, oh, thank you. That means so much. But in my heart, I reflect that really it is like God shining through me. Like I hope that that is actually the compliment, that the worship was so good because God was so good. And
oh, I love that.
I don't know. So I don't know. I hope that encourages you. I don't take it as like, oh, I'm so amazing. But I hope that means God really spoke through that moment.
Kristen Duggins, who is a good friend of ours and a worship leader somewhere else, she modeled this really well when she was my worship leader. She always says, oh, thank you so much for the encouragement. I really appreciate being encouraged. And that was the best. It's the one I use now. It's the best answer, because no one likes false humility.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, your food was so good. You're like, nah, I mean, it was okay tonight, you know, or like whatever your gifting is, whatever thing that you like love to serve people with or love to be used for.
Yeah.
And so the response of like, oh, thank you for the encouragement is such a great way to not take the glory, but also to not respond in a way that feels icky or lame.
Yeah. 100%. As you're talking though, Holy Spirit was just talking to me that it was just so crazy, because I also respond that same way. Thanks for the encouragement. Somebody had told me about that a pastor a long time ago, because I was like, I hate it, because I'm like,
it's awkward. Yeah.
You know, yeah. But right now, as you were saying that, Holy Spirit was like, I delight when you guys worship. And I saw a picture of us being like, I know, right? That was awesome. God loved it. Like, it was just a picture in my mind that God just flashed, that he was like, I delight in your worship. And it's okay that you delighted in worshiping me. And that's not saying that we should start being like, yeah, we're the best. But it's okay. And I think all of us know a couple people that carry that way. Like, I know, right? The Lord made me the best. But they're not wrong either. Yeah. It's like, I feel like, again, human nature makes us feel like we have to walk this certain line. But Holy Spirit's like, I delight in your worship. And if someone's like, dude, worship, that was incredible when you led. I know, right? Thanks. God just like poured his spirit out.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing, you know, like you do turn it back to God, but yeah. It's okay that it was awesome. He created us.
That reminds me of what happens when you are, okay, if you're not a musician, I'm sorry. If you had an amazing jam session and at the end of it, everyone's like, oh my gosh, that was so great. Like everyone's, it's not like, oh, we were amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like that experience, what just happened was awesome. Even if you're not
it feels worshiping, good.
Like just that, like, vibe. Yeah. So that's what a gift. Reminds me of. I love that picture, Nikki.
Yeah. It was just a gift. He's a good father and he's the ultimate creator and he created us to give back all that glory. So I don't know. We just corrupt everything. And so that's hard. But like we've been doing the Bible recap with Tara Lee Cobble. And what I've been struck by the most in that is that like we always mess up, always, constantly, yes. No matter what, over, over, over and over and over again. But the good news is God still gives us his grace and his mercy and his love. I'm just like blown away that even if we're struggling with ego or you're struggling with ego or whatever, yeah. He's still God. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. And, you know, you just profess your faith and you put your trust in him. He's going to refine you to the right end. And that process is not always fun or easy. Never is.
I'm super excited this took a turn toward joy and creativity because I had this on my mind, but I didn't really think it was going to fit in this conversation. But now it does. And I'm psyched. Okay. N.T. Wright, who is a very, very famous author, talks about the validity of the Bible, which is like a whole other conversation. But I heard it this week tied to 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, and I'll link the podcast about this. But well, this just happened.
I took a selfie, sorry.
Pictures. That was amazing.
I feel like we're just so joyful right now. I feel like Holy Spirit's just really present with us right now, and it's really beautiful.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That's so good. Okay.
His manifest presence.
I love it.
Enjoy.
2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I heard this talked about specifically good work. What does that mean? It's kind of vague. Right? But that like we can use scripture to be trained up in the way of Jesus for good work is Dave Lomas, who I talk about too much, but he's amazing. He tied this back to N.T. Wright's description of kind of this church period that we're in. So I'm going to give this analogy and then I'm going to go somewhere with this, I promise.
I like it. I'm tracking.
So N.T. Wright talks about how the good work part, like the creativity part, is kind of like if there was a Shakespearean play where you have acts 1, 2, 3, and 5, but you don't have act 4. So you have the Old Testament and you have the New Testament and you have the beginning of the church, acts 1, 2, and 3, acts 1, 2, and 3 of the Shakespeare, and then act 5, Revelation. So you have a really strong sense of what the play is about, but you're missing this really important moment. So how would you approach that play if you wanted to give it? Would you just write the play, that act 5 or act 4? No, because you'd be like, that would be like saying Shakespeare wrote it, okay? But instead, you would immerse people in acts 1, 2, 3, and 5. They would become extremely deeply trained in this play, and then you would ask them to play out the fourth act.
Mm.
And that's kind of what we're being called to do. And it's like a moment of creativity. It's a moment of taking God's giftings, taking God's training, and then each day acting out that fourth act, because we don't really know what it's supposed to look like, but we get to be creative in it. Like we have a part to play in this act that's missing the fourth act, or in this play that's missing the fourth act. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
You are.
Yeah,
I'm just taking it in because it's so deep. I'm like,
it's very deep.
But
I'm trying to say it quickly.
No, you're saying perfect. We're the fourth act right now, and we're just kind of like figuring it out.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
It is, but it's a really cool this idea that we can use the Bible to train ourselves up and then be creative, and that we don't have to live in the chains of ego or of expectation or of being used, but we get to take part in this fourth act and be creative.
So
and like, I don't know how they're tied together for me, but somehow it all works together.
I think it does. I think what we're saying is we can use our own strength and our own, I don't know, we have a, oh, it's so hard because it's so big to grasp, but we have an opportunity to partner with God in getting to getting to the end, or we have an opportunity to walk in our own flesh and be against them. Because even if we are, if we're not walking in the Spirit, I just read that verse today, I think in Romans, I just highlighted it. It's like, if we're not directed by the Spirit, we're not in the Lord, right? So we either walk what God is calling us to walk, and that means dying to self, dying to ego, dying to the things, and just putting our hand to the plow and saying, yes, Lord, you are worthy, whatever it is. If you want me to do the slides at church for the rest of my life, and that's the only thing that you're calling me to, then I will do it. Then that's your being part of Act Four. Now, don't be confused with God wants you to love what you're like, not love. That's a sketchy theology there. I do believe that he wants your heart to love it. So I feel like if you're not loving what you're doing, maybe that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And you're like, this is what I want. And then God has something better. Am I tying the two things together?
Yes.
That we're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I think you totally are. Because what I'm saying is that it kind of goes back to this idea that like at the end of a jam session, you all like look around and go, oh my gosh, that was so fun. We are absolutely called to take pleasure and joy and be creative and like take our gifts and just freaking have a heyday, you know? Like that is God's desire and hope for us. And so, yeah, it is also, there's also the element of making sure that those, that joy and that rightness in your purpose for God isn't ripped at and torn away by the flesh stuff.
Yeah. It's a very interesting perspective.
I like that, Candace. I love you. I thought you were going to go deeper there. I was like, come on.
That's my only thought. It's an interesting perspective.
It is. I almost feel like we need to have a podcast on like, what does living in the Spirit mean? Because I just read that today and it feels like it goes with this. Like if we're living in the Spirit, then, and I think sometimes it's a moment to moment thing. Like, oh no, I want to lead. And I, you know, wherever that may be, although leadership in itself is a gift, and maybe we're supposed to, maybe this is God humbling us and we're tackling this ego topic. Like in the end, let's all be led by the Spirit, whether we're leading worship or in the workplace or leading a connect group or we're pastors. We need to take a time out and be like, Lord, what is your heart for me to do? And I think he will answer that.
A great scripture verse for me that I often pray and that goes along with all this is Psalm 139:23-24. And it says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path to everlasting life.
Amen.
I just think that's good. If you're ever not, you know, am I struggling with ego? Am I struggling with pride? That's a great prayer in general, just to pray, like, search me, know me, show me what I'm doing wrong so that I can be better.
Amen. I kind of love how this all went down. It shows we're real. We're real people walking out this thing with fear and trembling. Lord, shine the spotlight of your Holy Spirit on our lives and let us walk always with you.
Yeah.
You're going to love us, but...
You're going to love us.
Oh, man.
You're just going to love us. That's it.
Period. You're not going to hate us. You're going to hate us, but...
You're going to love us.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.